Good. Thanks very much, Keith. And just as an opening comment on behalf of the automotive industry, can I say that I think the progress that the automotive industry around the world has demonstrated in terms of its response to the perceived issues of climate change, regardless of the policy responses that might be adopted anywhere, I think is a very positive one, and I think the industry can very proudly stand by its record and the investment that it is undertaking in terms of developing really a portfolio of technological responses that offer a very significant hope of progress in the future, from alternative fuels, diesels, biofuels, LPG, a whole raft of things on that front, hybrid vehicle technologies in many forms, new battery technologies, and ultimately potentially fuel cell development. So I think there's a lot happening in that regard, and I think it offers significant potential in the future for the industry to really lead the way in terms of the results that it can achieve. But on the points highlighted in the slide here, I think the first comment to make is that I think in theory, in any event, it is right to advance the proposition that all sources should face a comparable carbon constraint. That is not to say that everybody should be roped into an emissions trading framework. I think we really have to look on a case-by-case basis as to what will work best for each sector. And certainly the task group in its report identified that agriculture should be excluded, largely on the basis of measurement uncertainties and compliance cost issues. And while I would not begrudge agriculture that latitude, I think there are equally compelling reasons to consider other exclusions or other policy responses that may be just as effective as emissions trading in offering a pathway to setting a carbon price or a carbon constraint. In particular, in the case of transport, I think it's worth pointing out that as a very highly taxed area, transport fuels, particularly petrol, already have what could be considered to be a de facto carbon tax. As a rough rule of thumb, for each $10 per tonne of CO2, it would be estimated that would add 3 to 4 cents per litre. So on that basis alone, you could argue that we already notionally face a $100 per tonne price built into the tax system. Now, admittedly, the tax is not all focused on environmental considerations, but nonetheless there is an element there which is related to those issues, and that should be acknowledged. So I think in terms of looking at the policy options into the future, we need to review that flexibly. We need to look at what is the most appropriate way to minimise the complexity and costs that each sector faces, and I don't think it's a case of one size fits all. On the next slide, Keith.
Coming up. Sorry, let me just go back one. I've managed to stuff that. I went too far. Bear with me.
When it appears. The point that I wanted to make here was that we should be looking to minimise the competitive impacts. As I think Ron has already referred to, it is very unlikely that we will see a truly global emissions scheme or response emerging anytime soon. For those industries that are trade exposed, really regardless, I would say, of how you measure their energy intensity or their emissions intensity, one has to look at what is the competitive impact that an emissions trading response would have for those industries. In the automotive industry's case, we are unquestionably very highly trade exposed. In the domestic market today, imported vehicles account for around 80% of the total market. In terms of what Australian vehicle manufacturers produce, 40% or around 40% of their total production goes to export markets today. So we are unquestionably a part of a very significant global industry. We cannot operate in isolation. We are arguably a low-margin industry, and even small changes in the input costs that we face can have very significant consequences in terms of the competitive position that our industry faces, and it's the same for the other industries represented here. So we need to take that into account. In working through the detail of emissions trading, we need to ensure that those trade-exposed industries are catered for in terms of the design to minimise the competitive impact. The final point that I want to deal with is, I think, the imperative for avoiding conflicting policies. The introduction of an emissions trading system represents a very significant new regulatory burden for Australian industry. Now, it might be an exaggeration to say that this is the single largest regulatory imposition since the introduction of the Income Tax Assessment Act, but it would, I think, be fair to say that it is a regulatory imposition on about the scale of the introduction of the GST. The significant distinction on this point, though, is that when the GST was introduced, at the same time, wholesale sales tax was abolished, and so too were measures put in place to remove 9 other state and territory taxes. So the net impact on the economy was in fact a positive one. And I think we need to look at what can be done in this case if we are to move down the track to emissions trading as to what can balance that equation. The task force, in its consideration, has suggested that those ETS revenues could be directed to other purposes such as supporting development of low emission technologies and other abatement solutions. And I think there is a case there that the business community, that industry has to make, that those revenues should be rather returned to reducing the overall burden of other business taxes. At the very least, what I would say is that there is an imperative to eliminate other overlapping programs. And I think one estimate that I heard the other day is that there are more than 30 such programs around Australia. If we are going to go down the track of having a market-based mechanism to drive a market-based solution, set a price and get a response at the consumer level, then I think it is pointless to cut across that with other programs and other regulations which seek to drive behaviour in a certain direction. You either have a market-based mechanism or you regulate, and I think that's an important principle.